Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable, your exposure ends here.
This is Jim Semivan, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, without the beard, for those on YouTube, and I am joined by Dan with normal facial hair. Dan, welcome.
You look so different without facial hair that I was thinking of making a joke that just this is a completely new podcast with someone new, but, you know.
It looks very, very young. I appreciate it. It's a face for radio.
A whole bunch of years, yeah.
Yeah, aye. Anyway, listen, let's get into it, Dan, because it's very hot in here. We were hoping for a hot summer of UFO whistleblowers. That's still on the cool side of things at the minute. We've not had that spectacular aurora of 40 whistleblowers coming forward.
Nice.
Been all the rage right now in the UK, isn't it?
Really eclipsed by other things.
Lol. There is quite a few things to go through and talk about. Normally staying away from the drama side of things, but this is actually a drama that involves some of the bigger names in the UFO topic, which is quite relevant to the UFO conversation. So loads of talking points. Just to start off with, there's going to be some chat on Sean Kirkpatrick and Brandon Fugel and their recent issues off the back of a Stephen Greenstreet interview, some stuff that came from that. A little bit on the Elgin Air Force Base incident that Ross Coulthart done a really good breakdown of on Need to Know with Bryce Zabel. Touching on some other little news pieces as well, like the Vatican releasing publishing a paper on the 17th of May. A little bit on Stephen Greer, and then I've got some stuff from listeners' questions and bits and pieces as well. One or two other things, but getting right into it, Dan. I'm quite proud of myself with this little thing I've come up with. So the man of the hour, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, right? So, you know, when folks in the UFO community have a belief, or just their belief in UFOs in general, and it's dismissed by debunkers and naysayers, swamp gaslighting.
Oh, I like it. I've definitely heard that before, though.
No, bullshit. I've never heard it. So,
but I can't cite where from, so whoever did it so, is not making
so
any of it.
So that's bullshit, then, isn't it?
When it comes back around and someone says it to you, you put it out in the world. I'll be 100%.
Yeah, so Sean Kirkpatrick has been the man of the hour now for a while, it seems. And as much as I felt the Arrow story was starting to go away, and I still feel it is in a way that it's not going to be a thing, and we'll get to that. Sean Kirkpatrick, for those who didn't know, was the director of Arrow. He has since left. He's moved on to bigger and better things, I'm sure, for him. He done a very rare interview with Stephen Greenstreet via the New York Post. I think it's fair to say, Dan, a lot of folks were expecting the interview to be very debunky, bashing the UFO topic. Stephen Greenstreet was quite pro-UFOs at one point. Many of us know that changed. He'd done a bit of a 180, and he's gone very much the other way.
And I'd say he's still a UFO guy, but just in the sense of like the recent stuff like OSAP, ATIP, he's turned off of that.
Yeah, yeah. Still more anti than pro anything, really, which that's totally fair. You've got to have very varying opinions, and I know it rubs a lot of people up the wrong way. But Sean Kirkpatrick's done this interview with Stephen Greenstreet, which certainly threw up some interesting moments, some comments, not what some of us, I'll speak for myself here, not what I was expecting at all to come of it. And it seemed to be the main talking points, whether Stephen expected this or wanted this or not, seemed to be more pro-UFO, given it threw some more shade on Dr. Kirkpatrick. The way he talks about the subject is rather negative, as we know. And the big talking point for me, Dan, came from it that this caused the online drama. Sean Kirkpatrick denied having attended a briefing in 2018, essentially about Skinwalker Ranch, with Brandon Fugel and his team. Stephen Greenstreet asked him the question from a place of knowing, given he had reported on that briefing previously. He asked Sean Kirkpatrick about details of it, and he was very dismissive, I might have, can't quite remember, but then downplayed it completely. Brandon Fugel very quickly sent out the receipts. Not only did he come back with a rebuttal, which you would expect, and there was going to then probably be, everyone expected, some back and forward of, this did happen, no it didn't. Brandon Fugel threw out the pictures of Sean Kirkpatrick at said briefing with him, the Skinwalker Ranch team, and others in attendance, which totally put the lid on the whole conversation.
With Kirkpatrick looking directly at the camera as well. So he's clearly aware that someone's held their phone up or videoed or taken a photo, you know? And there were a few other things to come out of it. We found out that Brandon had a USB drive stolen from his room the day before he was due to give this presentation. And the only reason they were able to give it is because Eric Bard, the head scientist at the ranch, had another copy with him. So that just raises a whole bunch of questions. You know, the implication there in the community is that Sean Kirkpatrick did it himself, but you know, the door wasn't kicked open or anything like that. So whoever did it had a key, which means, you know, I can put hotel keys on my phone now, just scanning the NFC chip. So if I was near Brandon, you'd be able to take a copy with that and open his door with that key. So it could be anyone that he met after he checked in and got the key, right?
That was Tim McMillan, Dan. That was Tim McMillan. I'd reported that because he asked Brandon, again, from a place of knowledge, you know, Brandon, can you just confirm that you had that USB or material stolen the night before? Like you say, hotel room, Dan. It was a locked room. Pretty secure. I imagine Brandon was staying in a nice hotel, given his net worth.
Very nice hotel. So you're not going to have house staff that are just inclined to pilfer some stuff. And then Brandon said it was next to a stack of money as well, which tickled me because, you know, does Brandon just carry around stacks of money with him? Is that how rich he is?
We've always assumed he does, you know, stacks of hundreds. Yeah. proper cartoon style. But yeah, so they've done this briefing, they've done this presentation. Hal Putov was there. Eric Bard was there, members of the Skinwalker Ranch team, Sean Kirkpatrick. Now, let me just say straight off the bat, Dan, I'm not saying by any means genuinely this means that it's full conspiracy, he is lying and been caught out. It's very, very likely that he did just kind of forget it happened. There's a good chance of that, you know, where he has attended hundreds of meetings, hundreds of briefings, and there was an element of, and I'm going to say this now, I don't think Sean Kirkpatrick, Dr. Kirkpatrick, entirely cares about the UFO topic. I can imagine he seems the type that's in these sorts of things who is like, I can't be arsed being here. I don't want to be in this meeting. I don't care about this subject. And I'm having to sit and listen to these guys talk about dire wolves, magnetic anomalies, photos of blurs in the sky. That might interest folk like me and you, Dan, people listening or watching this and others. I don't think it does him. I think that's as much as I've discerned from what I've seen and heard of Sean Kirkpatrick in the last kind of year and a half, 2 years. But on the flip side of that, given his role, given his level of intellect, given what he does, he speaks quite, you know, candidly on stuff. And you would think that would be the sort of thing he may remember. And it just seems like it was another one of those things that, is it inefficiency, incompetence? I think that's where I'm at with the whole Arrow situation. We're going to get to talking about the Air Force. I would say there's an element of the Air Force is nefarious and deliberately obfuscates stuff in a really suspicious way when it comes to the UFO topic. I think Arrow is more incompetent, more disjointed, and the little ginger-headed stepchild. No offense to ginger children, I have to.
If there's any staff on Arrow now that are ginger, they're like, how does he know he's attacking me?
Yeah, I've got a ginger beard, folks, don't worry. Scottish and all that. But it's like the bastard stepchild of a bigger organization that's tied in with the Air Force and whatnot, and it's trying to do Big Brother's bidding and not doing it very well, but doesn't really get the help to do it either. It's just a there. It's just a thing. I'm kind of ranting now, Dan, but that's
I get what you're saying. So the Air Force point, Kirkpatrick's past is with the Air Force, so there's a little bit of overlap here, and this is where it kind of comes in, where people are like, well, you know, he's full on lying versus the memory issue. Like you said, I think of it like you often talk about you and your wife and your wedding day and how you'll remember that wedding day differently, and there'll be discrepancies, and neither of you are lying, but you know, the discrepancies are there. But there are certain things he said for me in this interview, like that he had no involvement with UFOs before 2022, that sound a bit like you saying, Susan, did we get married? Which is like a whole other level of misremembering, right? It just reeks of something being wrong there. Really wrong. You know, there's memory issues, and then there's just fables. And
not even that,
saying that
for a better example, you know, it's like being asked before you met your wife, were you ever, you know, in a relationship with anyone else, and going, nah, I don't remember that. And it turns out you were five other people, you know, in long-term relationships.
Yeah.
Oh, well, other than those five, yeah, no, definitely
yeah.
not.
And it just raises flags, right? And then people go running with it in different directions, and a bunch of things come from it. And I thought those things are a bit rich, considering that Kirkpatrick spent a lot of time in the interview complaining that he was being attacked. But then you get things like this where it's like, and just to differentiate, when he says attacked, he means a lot of people sending him messages saying how wrong he is and so on and so forth. There are some extremes, but that's not the majority of the behavior.
And that's still wrong.
And, you know, I dispel that. That's terrible. You know, no one should be showing up at his house and talking to his family and stuff like that. That's awful. No. Don't do that. You're not helping anything. Yeah. Stephen Greenstreet's done a better job than the person that rocked up their house. You know, I think that speaks volumes. But yeah, I think it's worth kind of skipping through things. So yeah, he said no involvement with the UFO issue before 2022, which to me reads like a lie, not a memory issue. He says that's not the briefing I recall. The briefing I saw was less polished. For me, that could be a memory thing. You know, like I don't really remember. I've seen 100 different things. Then there's another one where he said, come to think about it, I don't believe the meeting was 2018. This was in a follow-up email where he'd been thinking about it for a while. And he said, meeting wasn't 2018 that I attended on the briefing on the Hill. I believe it would have been about 2017. In 2018, I was stationed in Colorado. That's where he worked for the National Security Council. So that's like quite a high job. And the fact that he would have been there and also looking at the UFO issue, again, has huge implications. This is a really big role that he's kind of got, and it makes sense that he would be looking at UFOs for that role. But him having said, I wasn't doing that, I wasn't there, it wasn't about that, doesn't recall me in Brandon, it's flag after flag after flag. And like you said, the whole Arrow thing is like a bastard stepchild, because you've essentially had UAPTF, which was scuppered and replaced with AIMSOG, AOIMSG, just to stop the legislation pushing through a new independent office. And then that AOIMSG, for whatever reason, probably because it's a mouthful to say, became Arrow. So stuff was passed down. So it's kind of like the watered down version of what AOIMSG is, and, you know, a rebranding of that. Nothing's really changed. They're still there to explain away the cases, not to explain the cases. And I think that's what people want, is someone to look, and when I say someone, I mean an organization, to look independently, open-mindedly, with no kind of prior bias or anything like that, and just address them. And this doesn't seem to be happening. The Eglin case is a really good example. I don't know if you want to jump onto that now and just discuss what that was and what's happened.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got quite a few listener questions and thoughts to go through, largely on the Kirkpatrick Fugle stuff. We'll keep them till the end. We'll get through this, and then the discussion points, we'll go back to that, because I think it will bring up a lot of the conversation we might have had around this anyway. So
yeah, for sure.
The Eglin Air Force Base event. So this occurred in late January 26th, 2023. Essentially, a pilot took off from the base in an F-22 Raptor. That's a top-of-the-range, top-tech craft. Dan, any guesses as to how much one of those jets cost?
I'm guessing it's not $10. I'm going to go for about $25 million and probably guess that's
apparently,
low.
Apparently, from my research, $350 million per jet.
So Brandon has three.
The Raptor program costs $67 billion in total. So wow. That's just to emphasize, these things are cutting edge technology, right? These are like the creme de la creme of jets. So pilot takes off from the base and reports seeing an object that resembled an Apollo command unit, sort of egg shaped, you know, acorn shaped look to it. Saw four objects on radar, got a visual of one. The pilot was certain it wasn't a balloon. Reported this straight to Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, who spoke to the commander of the Air Force base, who tried to block access to the report, citing he didn't have the right access to get this. I believe, from listening to Ross Coulthart, this is because he was with Tim Burchett and Anna Polina Luna, who didn't have the correct access, but he did. Eventually, Gaetz saw the report. He saw what the pilot had seen after finally getting access to the video, and he said he was shocked and concerned at what he saw. Certainly, again, looking like this wasn't some kind of shocking or concerning-looking balloon. Arrow recently published a resolution report on the incident, and what they said was that only one pilot saw the object, and only saw one object, and the report said the pilot didn't record any video, as the equipment wasn't operating. The Air Force has since said via FOIA there was a video, but it's not eligible for release.
So clear, isn't it?
And it also turns out there was a second pilot up there as well in a separate aircraft who saw this. So either, again, not to go full conspiracy, either they're completely lying, they are not talking to each other, and things are just really disjointed. Maybe the Air Force are deliberately withholding information from Arrow. They don't feel they have to give out what they should. And this is kind of, Dan, what I was alluding to before, that the Air Force is like, well, we can tell them a little bit, but we're not giving them the whole thing. And Arrow just have to feed off of the crumbs. And that's not sticking up for Arrow. That's just maybe where I see Arrow's place in this whole thing. They are so low down the chain. The Air Force are going, just give them the basics. I don't particularly care about them. Off they go. And it just lets the Air Force crack on. We don't hear from anyone in the Air Force. The Air Force don't give a shit about the UFO community and this topic. They're quite happy being up there. Arrow is just a very easy deflection tool for them to have, let alone just knocking back things before. And this, for me, shows Arrow, in their conclusion, reporting this was likely a balloon, etc., are just going off of half-arsed investigations and part-baked information, concluding the same thing. Likely a misidentification, likely something prosaic, off the back of not a whole lot. So rather than saying we're not sure because we're not getting the information, even from the Air Force, they're just going with balloon. Dan, swamp gaslighting people in the UFO community. That's what
I'm doing. I was queued up to use it for a reason, and you'll hear it for a second.
Do you know, either way though, it's not good enough. No. Regardless, especially if you're an American taxpayer, You'll be furious at all of this. We can sit here across the pond and be like, we're unhappy because of the UFO topic, but here's just either inefficient, you know, disjointed arms of government, different rungs of politics, people being played, people being, you know, incompetent or lying to each other or just obfuscating between themselves. It's pick your poison. No one really knows at this point. But this is where I think Arrow are just doing bits, not even the best they can. They're doing a job and a half-arsed one at that, whereas the Air Force are just being completely non-transparent and being as obfuscative as possible in the whole UFO topic, which is no change.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There are past things, you know, the reports the Air Force have fed into, but they've always given the bare minimum. We don't know, you know, what their pilots have seen and so on and so forth. So this report was kind of concerning. And there was a part in it that made me think of the interview with Kirkpatrick when Stephen interviewed him and Kirkpatrick was saying, you know, I was brought in as a neutral person to kind of do the work, share my work in, so then everyone could see that I was being genuine and that these were like, you know, proper scientific looks at these phenomena to try and figure them out. And the whole time you're saying that, I was thinking, but you haven't shown your working. You know, when we were looking at the report and the historical report, we were saying that there's no data here. We can't check any of this. You know, even the citations were iffy. And we've got the same here. We've just got an assertion by two different review boards that if you read the paper, they disagree on what they're looking at. You know, the one says it's a Mylar balloon. The other one says it's something else. So that's two different results already. And then they just kind of conclude saying, oh, well, it's probably a balloon then. Even though internally they've disagreed. So you're kind of left confused as to how their workings got them there. Part of this, I think, is because, like I just alluded to, they're there to explain it away, not to say, I don't know, you know, it lets people sleep better at night and think that the airspace is secure when they get to explain it away. And for all we know, they're still investigating it to some degree somewhere. But for us, they've said, sleep well in your beds tonight. It's a balloon. Don't worry about it. But then this is also a really good example of what stovepiping does. You've got two different groups within Arrow that they're working with to get these conclusions. And we don't know that those two different groups have been given the same data to work with. So yeah. Two different conclusions, two different groups blind to each other, which, you know, is usually good in science because you're getting two looks at it. But again, they're not communicating. So they can't work on it together. They're just coming up with these conclusions in a vacuum. And then Arrow were kind of broadstroking saying, it's solved, it's a balloon. And they literally said, and this is where I get to use your term, they said it was a gas-filled light. So they are gaslighting us. They are swamp gaslighting us, literally, by saying that, which I thought was hilarious. That's from someone on Twitter. I don't want to steal their joke, but I can't remember who it was, so I can't credit. But the Air Force stuff is really interesting as well, that if you go back in history and you kind of read where that stuff comes from, when the Air Force was starting to kind of do their look at it and release their files, a lot of people thought that they were lying and they got a lot of abuse and stuff like that. So they stopped talking about it. And at that point, everyone kind of went, well, you know, they're hiding it. So they, you know, there's something there clearly. After that point, whenever Men in Black sightings were reported, they were wearing Air Force uniforms. Before that happened, they weren't. So whatever the phenomena of the Men in Black is, they were leaning into the stigma that was created between the people and the Air Force, which I think is really interesting and weird. And that comes up time and time again. But yeah, I would say that, you know, Arrow need to show their workings. For this one, even Mick West disagreed with their assertion that it was solved. He said, this doesn't make sense. So I think if you've got the believers and the debunkers saying, no, hold on, wait here a second, this something's not right. That's definitely when Arrow should be going, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and communicate better. Because for all we know, they have data that shows that what their conclusion is right, but they certainly haven't shared it with us and you know, people to agree with. So yeah, there's just the communication's wrong. There's not enough data for us. There's not enough transparency. And really, that's what it's all about, right? I don't care if they decide they're aliens or if they're prosaic or something else. Just be genuine about your investigation. Otherwise, it's a waste of money and a waste of everyone's time.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one. Download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah. Ultimately, what this has shown for me, if you take aside your, and it's all opinion, that people may think Kirkpatrick's lying, Kirkpatrick's part of the cover-up, Kirkpatrick's incompetent, Kirkpatrick's getting stuff wrong. All this has shown for me, and this is what I would like some of the more ardent debunkers to appreciate, for years, decades, the whole time of the UFO topic or ufology, whatever you want to call it, is that people involved in UFOs get thrown at us and the bigger names in ufology that when they make small mistakes or small discrepancies or small details don't add up, those are thrown at people as being caught out in their lies. You know, this just shows are full of BS. You know, pick your line. This is the same thing, potentially, where they've just got some data wrong, they've just got some details wrong, they've stumbled over their words, or they've misremembered something. All it proves, finally, and if it's happened once, it's probably happened 1,000 times, that this happens on both sides of the argument, pro and against UFOs. So that's it. It won't change anything. I would like to think it should at least show that, but it won't. And I think, yeah, going forward for me, and it should help anyone with an interest in the UFO topic, to go, do you know what? They can sling all the mud they want at people who believe in UFOs. However, there's people who are apparently part of the cover-up not doing a whole lot to help themselves and a whole lot to help their own arguments, yeah. Which, you know, many little thumbs up in celebration.
Tiny violins and tiny thumbs yeah. up. Yeah, absolutely.
There's some conversation and questions around that, but we'll leave that till we get to listener questions, Dan, because we'll come back to it.
Throw one thing in just before we jump to the next thing? I heard an interesting... read an interesting comment on X Twitter, where someone said, well, what if Kirkpatrick genuinely isn't interested in this stuff, and the only reason he's in here is because he was threatened by the legacy program keepers or something like that? And I was like, that's an interesting possibility. You know, he certainly seems uncomfortable. And I don't know, so I have to put it on the table. For all we know, he's forced to be in the job, and we know that he didn't apply. He was voluntold that was his word, that he was to take this job. So it sounds like he didn't even really want it. So I would love somehow to have like an off the record conversation with Kirkpatrick where he's a little bit more forthcoming about his past, because there are certainly flags and questions about that.
Yeah. Based on the message I got off him this morning, after that interview with Green Street, he doesn't want to do any more. He still thinks he's been misrepresented.
I mean, that's... I hope he spends the time looking in a mirror, reflecting on the words that he said and no one made him say.
I reckon he'll just very quickly and quietly just move away from it altogether now. I think he's done his interview he was going to do, and that's it. And it's probably not even the way he thought it was going to go.
No. No, because Stephen's such a skeptic with it that I bet he thought he was just going to join him in that side of things. And Stephen didn't. Hats off to him, you know, in that regard. He pulled him up on some of the wording. And Kirkpatrick isn't doing a great job at this. So either he goes away from it, or the Department of Defense is going to start distancing themselves and saying, hey, he doesn't work for us anymore. He's just out there running his mouth. Tim Phillips is the director of Arrow now. Like, speak to him if you want to speak to Arrow, not to the guy that left the building 5 months ago, you know?
Yeah. Moving on, Dr. Stephen Greer, he has announced a new database. It's the Disclosure Project Intelligence Archive. I think you said, Dan, same with me, this kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. I just noticed the video. He done an interview on his own channel with Blake Cousins, who is Third Phase of Moon, as many would refer to him as, on YouTube. I didn't know that was Blake and his channel. I know some folks often quote and tweet and there are nicknames for that channel and stuff that I see people put on. I don't often look at it. I'm not going to lie. That's not a for or against it. Like, it's just I don't really look at it. But essentially, Stephen Greer has come up with this database, which he says is a research tool being given to folks in politics and government. The angle of this, from what I could see in the interview, it was it's a little bit pompous, just the way it came across to me, because it was like very dismissive of any political movement in the UFO topic, saying, well, this is disclosure, is to quote Stephen Greer. He said, this database is disclosure. 33 years worth of data, videos, documents, links that is there for everyone to use. Some folks might have a go that it's you can donate to help fund it and crowdfund it, but it is there free. That's fair enough. It's not that all that server space and database stuff isn't free. So I'll be honest, though, I tried to register for it, and I was just telling Dan this, folks, as he came on. I tried to register for it earlier, spent about 10 minutes trying to register. And bear in mind, that was name, email address, password, and ticks and boxes. I couldn't register. It just wouldn't let me do it. I tried multiple different passwords. Dan did, but you also had an issue registering, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So when you sign up to anything these days online, there's a little tick box saying, if you want marketing or don't want marketing, click this. For this, you have to accept that your email is going to be used for marketing. So there, I would say it's not really free. You know, in a similar way of Google services aren't free, they're an advertising kind of platform. So that's the product they're selling. But your mileage may vary with that. You know, you might be more than happy to give that over and receive a few emails in exchange to use the database.
People tend to have like a shitty second or third email these days, don't they?
Where yeah, it's like, use that
marketing email. You go to a shop exactly. And they do that annoying thing of, can I take your email? And you're like, just give me a paper receipt. I don't want it. You know, at Halfords, I'm already a member of your club. Just, I get your 10% off emails, you know? So, but you just, yeah, it's andysmarketingemail@gmail.com. That isn't my email, folks. Don't email that, but you get the gist.
You sign up for the birthday gifts every year and the Christmas cards, and that's about it.
365 free Starbucks drinks with 365 email accounts. Yeah,
it goes well. You know, there are services now these days, like on an Apple device, you can click hide my email and it'll give you a temporary email just for this service. That's what I ended up doing. And there's a little greeting on the front that I'll just actually, no, you touched on it. I'm just realizing as I read it then, so I don't need to do that. But I will say that the crowdfunding thing did rub me up the wrong way, only because when I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Greer with Kurt Dreimankel over on Theories of Everything. He made some comments about only earning six figures a year and that us rich podcasters should be paying for databases, projects, and things like that. And obviously, you know, I don't know any podcaster that's hitting six figures a year or, you know, even two. So Joe Rogan, little podcast, UFO podcasters specifically. Minus like Ancient Aliens and, you know, those kind of main ones, they aren't super profitable. But I got in, I had a look, signed up to it, you know, gave my email, and I was having a little look through. And I've got to say, as far as I can see, it's everything that was just on Stephen's website, but now with a different front end and a login. And that's really all it is. And as part of UAP Media, we did a few things, you know, with the Calvin photo and with the Costa Rica UFO photo as well, the Lake Cote one. And one of the Lake Cote UFO photo, we kind of managed to be the channel to reveal a high-res scan of that someone had made out in South America. They, on this Greer database, they've still got the old files that are really low resolution. There's also some like analysis documents, like PDFs that you can't download and things like that. So it's not really an open source database. And as I was using it, I was struggling to kind of think, well, who is this for? You know, if I had trouble logging in, and you did as well, who's, there's a nice little thumbs up there.
Yeah, for anyone on the YouTube, you just saw a thumbs up going on the screen. That was just totally a misplay.
But yeah, I just ended up thinking, well, what is it for? Nothing's really up to date. These are all really low res files. I don't think the database is going to clear anything up for anyone, to be honest. It's just a different front end on an Excel database that also serves Stephen Greer's website. So I don't get it. It's not for me, this one, you know?
No, I disagree on that. I've actually got no issue with the guy, whether he's a millionaire or not. crowdfunding a database, you know, that's a service, because it is essentially still there for folks to use who don't pay for it. So yeah, that's fine. I am that guy though, like I said, that didn't bother registering because I couldn't, but I gave up. I was literally trying to work and put this together at the same time before kids came home from school. So I've got 5-10 minutes and I can't be bothered wasting any more time on it. You know, every click that something takes, more people drop off a sign-up process. So I'd be interested to hear from anyone who did get into it, who does get something from it. It'd be interesting. You know, Dan, Graham Rendell, folks like that love to look at documents, research documents, any interesting links you can find in it. Definitely send it over. It is a bit of a work in progress, I would imagine, as they kind of said. But yeah, that was all for me. Just an interesting kind of note on that to see if anyone gets anything from it. I'm very wary of anything that claims this as disclosure right off the bat. I wouldn't care who came out and said that, whether it was someone I had a lot of respect for. For example, I'm a huge James Fox fan, what he does with his documentaries and work. If James Fox made a documentary meant, this is it, this is the smoking gun, this is disclosure, I'd be disappointed in that marketing. But that's a personal thing. Not to say it still wouldn't be good.
It's my not vary, isn't it?
Yeah, this date might be fantastic for many folks. But yeah, there we go. Very quick one, Dan. The Vatican is preparing to release a statement. Did I mention this before?
Off air, yes. So carry on.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's fine. I was going to say, I'm sure I read this. The Vatican is preparing to release a document to give guidance on how to identify or recognise supernatural phenomenon. This is being published on the 17th of May, alongside a live-streamed press conference. You're going to be watching that one, Dan?
I probably will, for some very specific reasons. I'm not overly taken with this announcement, to be honest. And that's really only because when they're talking about this, they're talking about the Marian apparitions, the miracle of Fatima, the miracle of the sun, this lady being appearing to people with UFOs and kind of giving prophecies and things like that. There are hundreds of these things all around the world, all given the thumbs up as being genuine miracles. We've got the testimony of the children. We've got the testimony of the people that investigated them. And I don't really see what this is going to bring to the table that doesn't already mean that it's explosive. When I was in Mexico, I went to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is another one, another kind of Marian apparition where, you know, she appeared to some people at the bottom of a hill, and there's a shrine there now. People walked for 23 days across Mexico to attend that. You know, so I don't think this announcement is going to change those people's minds. I think we need to kind of understand that there are a lot of people in the Catholic faith who believe in supernatural things as a fundamental kind of ground level truth. But Catholicism, you know, I'm not religious. So there's nothing in that that is going to change my beliefs. I'll be watching it out of curiosity more than anything else.
Yeah, the last time anything like this was released and updated was 1978 from them. Like you say, it's not necessarily UFO news or particularly explosive, but if it might have a couple of interesting lines in there, maybe we get a mention of something, but yep, likely just an update to their own guidelines.
I'd be very surprised if you get someone from the Catholic Church saying, hey, take a magnetometer with you. If you experience this level of reading, that's a definite supernatural event. It's going to be wishy-washy. It's going to be about faith and belief and stuff like that.
No, it's being presented by Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick on the 17th of May.
who will be wearing a Tom Woods Wright t-shirt during the press conference.
Nice advertising. Don't do that again. We'll see what comes of it. It might be interesting. It might not. And one more thing just before the listener questions, the AAPC, which is the Anomalous Aerospace Phenomena Conference from SCU, that's a scientific coalition for UAP studies, is being hosted out in Huntsville, Alabama, Dan, May 31st to June 2nd. I'll just read a little bit off of the website. You can go to explorescu.org. I'll put the link in the description as well. Executive board member and former guest of the podcast, Rich Hoffman, said the advancing the scientific study of UAP is at the heart of our organization, and our annual conference is part of that mission. This year's gathering is a continuation of our tradition of bringing scientists and academics together to discuss our shared interest in an enigmatic global phenomenon. A lot of interesting folks talking at this year's. We have Ross Coulthart, Julia Mossbridge, who's a communications and sciences and disorders contributing member of SCU, Kevin Knuth, Beatrice Villarreal. She is still coming on the podcast, folks. She has been ill for a few months on and off. Nothing serious, but the stars have just not aligned yet for that one.
She'd like that pun. That was good.
Thanks. Yeah, not even deliberate, actually. Or maybe
that's,
it was,
that's how professional you are. Yeah,
they just come to me now. And a whole load of other folks. Micah Hanks is there, Matthew Zagadis, and others. So definitely one worth checking out, folks. I have Robert Powell coming on the podcast next week. He's got a quote on there as well. You can buy live stream tickets for it or in person tickets as well if you register on the website. But yeah, always a very serious, well put together conference. I would say it's been going longer, but I think the Sol Foundation has probably taken over that big mantle of the scientific community's UFO platform, if that's the right way of maybe saying that.
I would agree. You know, Galileo, Sol, they're, you know, well established, well funded. And I think there's a difference as well. You know, Galileo and Sol's events are all free. This is a paid for event. So therefore that kind of acts as a filter to who's going. So if you're a bit more scientifically minded, you know, you're not going to get casual UFO buffs kind of attending something like this. It's going to be really serious people.
Yeah. But again, folks, if you get a chance, check it out. I'm sure it'll be really interesting. And I'll just say tickets are a hell of a lot more cheaper than a lot of your big UFO events as well, if getting into one of these things face-to-face is for you. I know that's the kind of thing I'd love to get to, but I'm based in the UK. On to some questions, Dan, from folks. This is going to jump about, but like I say, largely on the conversation we kicked off with. Do you know what? I'm going to start with this question. It's actually the last one I've got on. It was from Stephen, Dan, and he asks, and this is going to probably have to stretch your memory, who was it that told us, and I don't even know if we could say it if we remembered, because I don't think we will, that Sean Kirkpatrick was actually a good guy? So back at the start, when they announced he was going to be the guy, do you remember this? Because we did say this.
I'm sure we were like, I'm not sure. So the person I remember, it was one of the guys that I was in Colombia with that had worked with him. And
right, okay. I knew we'd said something. Couldn't remember who, so I'm glad you remember.
the phrase I was told, that Sean loves chess but knows that the board is rigged, and that's still in play. You know, we brought up that possibility that he's trying to do his damnedest with the rigged board. But yeah, that was all we were told. Next time I see that person, I am going to have a conversation with them about, you know, Kirkpatrick, and as somebody that has worked with him and knows him, that person might be able to shed a little more light on it for me, you know, and help me understand why all the red flags are happening.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might say Sean has a lot of anxiety and just speaks a lot and gets things wrong all the time, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I knew there was nothing special or like secretive about it. I just remember we'd discuss it at some point.
And so, yeah, the only reason I'm not saying the person's name isn't because I'm like, oh, it's a sensitive person. It's purely out of respect for not having people run to that person to ask questions. That's all.
Yeah.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Cool. So a question from Josh. Do you think there's any possibility that Kirkpatrick's analysis of the UFO phenomenon was influenced by the threats his wife and daughter received? Perhaps there's a scenario in which making it so personal tainted his objectivity toward the topic. Let me kick off and say, you know, I think there's a very human element to that. And like we said, no way, shape or form should anyone be threatening anybody. It's just whether that's because you want to be a keyboard warrior or whatever, that's fine. You can disagree and just and move on. You can be annoyed about it, but it's nothing to do with his family, nothing to do with his personal life, very much his professional life. And it's totally uncalled for if you know, that's what happened. I don't know if it did or didn't, but I could see how that could sway someone. I remember years ago, Dan, to use a footballing analogy, there was a big game between Rangers and Celtic 25 years ago.
Well, that's not a controversial game.
Not at all. And during that game, the referee was hit on the head with coins from the support because they were losing. Within seconds, Rangers had a corner kick and were given one of the softest penalties you will ever see. Now, would that referee have given that penalty had he not just been smashed in the head by coins from that team's support?
Sure.
I'm going to say probably not, but human bias kicked in. He was angry and he saw an opportunity and went, do you know what? Penalty. So there we go. These things can happen. Any football fans will probably appreciate that one because these things do happen, but happens in all walks of life. I don't know. We kind of touched on it before, but do you believe the same?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, things can influence people even when they're not aware of them. And that's a really potent example, actually, of something that, you know, was a lot less, I was going to say less harmful, but he was getting coins thrown at his head and football games often erupt in violence and stuff. So people may have gotten hurt after it. But yeah, it definitely influences. And I've seen that happen across all sorts of sports and stuff. So I don't think that Kirkpatrick would be immune to something like that. You know, he is human, no matter what the rumors kind of going around say that he might be NHI. He is human. He is liable to make human mistakes. And like anyone that says, I don't make mistakes, I'm really good at it, they're probably the people that make more mistakes than most.
And do you know what? Ironically, we are also, and I mean everyone in the UFO community, we are coming to a conclusion, is the English way to say that, based on a limited data set of who Sean Kirkpatrick is and what he does. It's all we have got to go off of, though, because we are not involved in that. So it's perfectly natural. But given what his role is and what Arrow are doing, they shouldn't be making conclusions off of limited data sets, which is the difference, I suppose.
I totally agree. I've mentioned him before, Charles Fort. The whole school of thinking is called a Fortean. So the magazine, the Fortean Times, this is where the name comes from. And his whole thing was just, you know, you investigate and it's okay if you don't know. And you've got to be okay holding that question because you can't conclude. We often talk about Bob Lazar and, you know, I'm kind of lean one way on him. But the truth of it is, I don't know, and I'm never going to know. And I've got to be okay with that in spite of what the little voice at the back of my head tells me, you know? And that voice changes on a day-to-day basis. So just be okay in the question and revel in the mystery, you know?
Dan, peek behind the curtain. I called you last night, didn't I, when I was out on a dog walk?
You did, yeah.
And people like, we disagree on loads of stuff when it comes to UFOs. But we were talking about the like Stephen Greer side of things. And I think I mentioned that, you know, if Stephen Greer, because we are very not pro Stephen Greer, okay, but I'm really? Very open personally. I'm very open personally to my opinion can change and will change depending on what I think personally and what I hear and everything else, okay. Listen to everyone, but make up your own opinion. I keep saying that. If Stephen Greer tomorrow done a live stream and came out with definitive proof that this entity or being Bijou existed and wasn't a shadow of a deck chair, as I believe is what you're saying it is, Dan, and what others would say it is. Yep.
But again, people will call that bias, right? So go on.
Yeah. but if he did come out and go, here's this entity, it talks to me, and proper definitive smoking gun proof, immediately I am leaving everyone else in the dust and jumping into the Stephen Greer camp. And I am funding his database. So that's just because that's the best thing for me at that time. And I used the example as well that there was a point that Tom Cruise was at the level of Scientology years ago. And this was years ago.
I said this to you,
didn't I? That he could levitate given the level he was at. Now, I'm not an expert in any religion, let alone Scientology, but I believe you can go up the levels in Scientology by paying.
That's right, yeah.
Yep, Tom Cruise is a very rich man, Dan. You might not know that. obviously, and also the last actual action star in movies. I won't have anyone say otherwise. He knows how to make a movie for cinema. But Tom Cruise was at a level of Scientology where he could levitate, apparently. And I said to you, if Tom Cruise could show me he could levitate, I will join Scientology tomorrow and take my entire family along for the ride with me, and I will work my way up to levitating. So I think that's just how that kind of works, to be honest. I don't even know if you can add anything to that, but
I agree. Scientology was a funny one. You know, you'll know. I'm a nerd. I love science. When I first heard the term Scientology, and I was like, a religion based on science? Oh my God, I think this is for me. And I very quickly learned that no. This isn't what it is.
If people haven't watched the South Park episode about science and how science has taken over religion, and that just becomes the new argument of whose science is correct, go and watch it, because it's absolutely phenomenal.
There was an Always Sunny one as well, with Mac presenting like religion versus science.
Yeah,
that was really good, and how science just changes all the time, even though it's certain. You know, there have been some big swings that just point completely 100%. Against the grain. So we have to remember, even science, we're taking on faith, you know?
This next one, Dan, is from James, and I don't know if we can really answer it, but we'll discuss it because we've talked about it. Can we discuss the significance of the Brandon Fugel photo? To James, it highlighted why Lou Elizondo, Hal Puthoff, Gary Nolan, and others didn't think Sean Kirkpatrick was a fair actor. I suppose with the data we've got at the moment, you can see why that would potentially be the case, because the situation as it's presented makes it look like incompetence, lying, whatever it might be, from that side of things with Sean Kirkpatrick and co. Not much more to add to that. You?
Yeah, I mean, one, I'm curious that Hal Puthoff was there. You know, we know that Hal has been involved in, you know, remote viewing and so much UFO stuff kind of going back a couple of decades. And here he is in this presentation with Sean Kirkpatrick. And just that, what did they, I want to know what they talked about, what Hal brought to the table with that. I've said it before, but Hal and James Lukatsky, they should be in the next round of hearings. They should be. If I had my way, they would be called up to testify and, you know, take an oath and talk about what it is that they've discovered, because they've just been wrapped up in this going back for so long. The other thing that the whole Fugel feud brought to my mind was Brandon spoke out against eminent domain, and he's received a lot of arrows for speaking out against it because he was worried that Skinwalker, nice, again, didn't even think of it. Look at that, we're professionals now. We made it, Mom. So yeah, he's taken a lot. And you've got to remember, if Brandon is in a position where data is mysteriously going missing before government presentations and government people are saying, no, we didn't meet with you, when he has video showing that they did, is it really that much of a stretch to understand why Brandon wouldn't at all trust the government to change that wording and to not come for Skinwalker and take it off him? You know, I think people need to kind of give him a break. And also remember that often we talk about this as a bipartisan subject, but there were many disparaging public comments against the UAP Disclosure Act from people like Tim Burchett and people like that. And it all contributed to this really muddy situation where nothing was clear and it's clearly being pushed this year. However, and again, I said this at the time, don't worry, because there's a process every single year for the past few years, whenever UFO stuff has been in the NDAA, the stuff that's failed has come back around again in different form and different language. And this will be no different. We are seeing currently Lou Elizondo is in Washington meeting with a whole bunch of different people. And that no doubt has to do with this year's NDAA. And it will include probably, again, I don't know anything. I'm kind of speculating, but when the NDAA language comes out, the draft language, we will see eminent domain and the review board back in with some things changed, saying, if you privately hold the property, you know, or maybe even naming Skinwalker, saying we won't take that from you, or we won't.
Some more caveats on it, basically.
Yeah. Closing those loopholes and addressing those really specific concerns. Brandon isn't the kind of guy to just blanket go, no, I don't want it, and then not talk about why. He'll work with his rep, and his rep clearly listens to him. So that's going to work to our advantage when Brandon supports the bill instead of, you know, says, oh, there's a loophole here I don't agree with. I think, yeah. That's everything.
there's a kind of question on that coming up in a little while as well. Oh, okay. We'll expand on. Philip Manning asks, and well, actually, that's more of a statement. He says, a word of support for Dr. Kirkpatrick, and then says he takes cover. A misremembered meeting from 6 years ago isn't sufficient reason to brand him a liar. That's fair. I've sat through hundreds of meetings over the years and would struggle to recall details, who was there, etc. If Brandon Fugel has evidence to back up his claims, he should publicise them. What is of most interest is why he was asked to attend the meeting at all, which we don't know at the minute, and that's just all we can go off of. And do you know what? You've got to think that as much as from our perspective, being invited to attend a meeting like that on Skinwalker Ranch, UFOs, ghosts, whatever it might be, would be really interesting and something you would remember. When you work in that environment and attend the kinds of meetings at that level that you would, on all kinds of stuff, imagine hearing about, you know, like Chinese and Russian nuclear close calls, nothing to do with UFOs, all that kind of stuff probably going on, and really cutting edge science, technology breakthroughs, you know, Cold War stuff. UFOs just become another thing for you when you don't have a big interest in it. So it's perfectly plausible that that is, and I think we discussed this enough earlier, part of the reason as to why this happened. So yeah, Philip, it's not totally unfair. I won't say otherwise.
Dan? Just to give voice to the other side of that coin as well. For me, I know if I was in, and this is just the way that my mind works, right? Like, I'm not saying that everyone is going to be the same and Kirkpatrick would think what I think. He's a different person. But if I was taking a bunch of boring meetings every day that I never remember, and then there was a meeting on UFOs and werewolves and stuff, I'd remember that one, you know? So again, the mileage is
unless you find the subject boring.
Yes, but we have to remember again, Kirkpatrick said that he would watch UFO movies. So there's clearly a small interest there, you know?
Yeah.
It's plural, you know? Not, oh, I once saw a UFO movie because I walked through a room and someone had it on. It's movies, plural. So there's at least a passing interest for him, we can say. And a denial of that is just a little bit disingenuous. It makes people go, what? And put the question mark there. And it just, if there's nothing there, then, you know, just be honest about it and fully upfront. And if he got it wrong and it's a memory issue, just say that. You know, people are fallible and it's okay to be fallible. And I'll believe people when they tell me they're fallible and take that in good faith.
You will. Most people won't.
No,
so for a lot of people, for a lot of folks, though, Dan, and especially in social media, it's not okay to be fallible.
Yes.
And that's the issue. So for him, I could see why Kirkpatrick or anyone else at this point, either way, would go, nah, not for me, and tap out. Whether that's right or wrong. Because, okay, I'll come back and defend myself. And then he says something else that then gets picked up on. And it's like, oh, and it's that. You know, sideshow Bob stepping on
Prince
the rakes.
Andrew. Yes.
Yeah.
Stepping on the rakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always post that gif.
Yeah.
It's a great gif.
Someone can do the gif, can't they? With Kirkpatrick walking about just stepping on the rakes.
Yeah,
rake
just smack.
Yeah. There's no way out of this, so... Yeah. Skeptical Believer says, when Micah Hanks was on, you briefly discussed whether Arrow has Title 50 access. What's your best guess on whether or not they do? Even if they do, that raises the question of whether they were looking in the right locations and whether people with knowledge were forthcoming and or cooperative with them. That was a good interview. Cheers. Thank you. See the, and I think that boils it down for me. I just don't think Arrow, whether they want to or not, are getting the folks going to them. And I mean from both sides of it. You know, like your David Grushes and co. I don't think the people that we would want involved in a UFO topic are speaking to Arrow. And I don't think the ones that are trying to keep this secret and keep the cover-up going are totally bought in or giving Arrow what they need either.
Yeah.
They're literally, that's what I mean. They're the outcast of the whole thing. They're just that little broom cupboard where all the crap gets stored in.
There was a little bit in the interview where Dr. Kirkpatrick said that he was frustrated by people not trusting him because it means that he can't do his job. He described people that had been friends for many years coming to him and saying, I don't want to tell you officially this because I don't trust that you have the tools that you need to, yep, to be able to do this job sincerely. And yeah, he found this frustrating. And there was a little bit there that you could see Sean's frustration push into the area of he started describing UFO people as like religious nuts, basically. He was saying it's a religion and he was talking about the extremes of behavior. And it made me concerned hearing a national security official saying that they should be concerned at that level with a religion, essentially a religion, infiltrating Congress. And I just thought, you know, this is a really scary road to go down. Because what happens if you or I decide to go to the US and at customs, we get identified as part of this? It's a road that I don't think we need to go down. You know, we're looking, as most things, they're like a bell curve. Most people exist in the middle, and then you get the extremes at the end that really there aren't that many people. It's just you get vocal people at both ends of the scale. They're the people being addressed at the moment. So when Kirkpatrick says believers, it's the other end of the scale. When he says debunkers, it's the other end of the scale. And I wish that we would just talk about the majority of folk and just be a bit more attached to reality when we're talking about this stuff.
I think from the outside, Dan, we're long past any religion, you know, infiltrating the US political system. From what I see,
separation of church and state. Yeah, man. I'm totally with you on that one.
Do you know, that's funny, like, and from anyone in the US who may wonder about UK politics, we don't really have it here, do we? It's not really a talking point in UK politics. Nah. Ours is so boring.
I've never seen anybody swear on the Bible or bring up, you know, God or religion on the floor to talk about, aside from to just say that people have religious freedoms to, you know, be attached to the religion that they want to. And that's it, you know?
Yeah. Question, slightly sidebarring, but I like that. Ansys Cold, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that properly. I have a more general question, but nonetheless concerns news. Are there any reports of UAPs in or around Gaza and more reports from Ukraine? I've never seen very much, and I think this goes back to, remember early on in the Ukraine-Russia conflict invasion, whatever you want to label it as, staying away from that. There were some reports of UAP UFOs way back at the time. I think in any active conflict zone or war zone, it's so hard to disseminate shells flying through the air, bullets being shot into the air with anything like that. And how many drones must be in operation now in these areas from a strategic point of view? And I imagine, just for example, Israel and Palestine, that situation, which is fucking awful again, how many countries must have their own drones and equipment flying about these places just to keep an eye on stuff, or for spying, or for tactical stuff, or intelligence?
Well, we saw it with Iran, right? Like they mounted a massive attack on the border using basically DJI drones. Like,
yeah.
These are cheap and accessibles, and if people aren't used to them, they misidentify them, or at least they say it's a question mark, I don't know what it is, it was unidentified, and then it gets lumped in the same data pile. And this, for me, is why I think as a community, the UFO folk need to be okay with having drones in that pile, because it means we can identify them and remove them from the pile, and then we're left with the UFOs, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Cosmics and Phantoms were the ones that they found in Ukraine. And there was a bit of back and forth with Avi Loeb, where Avi Loeb said they were shells and there was like a parabolic arc to them. Those researchers came back and said, no, it doesn't fit. And then it kind of all went quiet. So if anyone out there has seen anything else that has just skipped us by, here's send it over to Andy, and we'll take a look at it.
Maybe.
So,
maybe in the deleted folder, I don't know. Cams, very similar to what we talked about before, Dan, with the Vatican situation, says, regarding the Vatican release, which came out on May the 8th, they said they were in the process of releasing guidelines, as we discussed. Lou Elizondo, David Grush, and others have made claims publicly that the Vatican has evidence and documentation regarding the UAP phenomenon. If people are into that kind of stuff or haven't heard anything, check out any of Diana Pasulka's interviews in particular, through myself or other people. She's been on Joe Rogan as well. She's brilliant to listen to. Do you think anything substantial will come from their new release in terms of confirmation or anything like that? Or will it be more religious jargon about how aliens can in fact be included in the Christian Catholic religion?
The second one. Yeah. And I'm not saying I don't think it will be interesting and I don't think that people should watch it. They should, because being informed and having an opinion is better than just running your mouth on something you don't know about. But yeah, just hold it lightly, because if you're not Catholic, then it's not going to mean a lot to you, you know?
Yeah. Last couple of questions, folks, just to round up. Sean B says, the clip of Sean Kirkpatrick giving a presentation in which he said, I'm an intelligence officer. I expect that you should expect me to lie to you. I feel that should be a key takeaway, given all of the controversial comments he's made during his media tour. With the Arrow historical report and likely most of the work Arrow has done, it shows he clearly doesn't have a problem with lying to the public and sees it as part of his duty. That's something folks should keep in mind. The signal and email messages from Kirkpatrick's conversations with Chris Mellon also add some important context regarding his personality, and they add some credibility to the early rumours we heard about Kirkpatrick not being a nice person to work with. Not unfair, but again, it's all subjective, and, you know, text message screenshots, not to be pro or for Mellon, Kirkpatrick, or anyone, can be taken out of context. People having good days, bad days, and different days.
Do you reckon in like the gaps there were a bunch of memes just passing back and forth where they were being friends? 100%.
Yeah, 100%. You don't know if that was the case. Probably not, given who they are, but we don't know, do you? So again, not to dwell on it, and I never intended to do this, but we are still going to be making an opinion based on limited data sets. But that's just the UFO topic, and we just have to kind of embrace and love that, don't you, being involved in it.
There was an interesting series of questions right at the end of the interview with Green Street that kind of plays into what we're talking about here, where, you know, you can read them as jokes, you can read them as serious comments with huge implications or what, but Stephen said, are you part of a government cover-up to hide aliens or non-human intelligence? Kirkpatrick, complete straight face, didn't laugh or anything, said, yep. Clearly, you know, that's a choose your own adventure thing. For me, I was like, whoa, he didn't smirk when he said that. That's weird. And then that was followed up with, is it possible you're unknowingly part of a cover-up? And Kirkpatrick said, not likely. So I am knowingly part of a cover-up would completely fulfill, you know, what he said there. And it's those little gaps that the conspiracies come from, you know? If we're going to be frank with each other, if we're going to be pragmatic with each other, then we need to stop kind of talking across each other like that.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a question on it, but again, I don't know if he is or isn't. It'd be very easy for me to lean and go, yeah, he may be part of a cover-up, not even knowingly. But this kind of relates actually to a question that I'll move on to, Dan, right? It was Peter asked a few questions, one of which was, who's going to go down in flames first, Sean Kirkpatrick or Susan Goff? Personally, neither, because I don't think at that level. Same with, for example, prime ministers in the UK when they move on. No matter how bad a job they have done, people at the highest levels of politics have looked at, and this includes any country, have looked after their friends. Mm-hmm. So during that time, they may have made some decisions that were questionable, but they've looked after some people with their interests, knowing that when their job is done, they will be looked after themselves. Sean Kirkpatrick's moved on to no doubt some very well-paid, well-salaried roles in an advisory capacity or otherwise with companies in the private sector. I'm sure he knew that would be coming up anyway. He's an intelligent guy, so that would be stuff he could get, no doubt. And Susan Goff, I don't doubt, would be the same. I don't see either of them going down in flames, quote-unquote, Peter.
I mean, Goff has been given a promotion from just, you know, work up a rank to becoming the actual spokesperson for the whole Department of Defense over the course of the past few years during all of this. So someone thinks she's doing a really good job. And I've always been a big advocate of, you know, she's doing what she's been told to do. She's a public servant in that role, and she serves somebody. Yeah, so
she's not making the decisions. She's not making the policies. She's being told, this is what you are saying. You are the person who has to stand there and take the shit for what we are going to do, but we're paying you to do that.
She's the ticket master of the UFO community in the DOD, I would say. Like, she's just there taking the arrows, to use that pun again. And Kirkpatrick is probably the same. He was put in that role because they know that he'll do exactly what he's told to do. How that goes now, I don't know, but he's left the job, so what are they going to do, fire him?
Peter also asked, who do you think's most committed to the truth, Brandon Fugel or David Grush? Again, totally on the fence. Brutal, isn't it? But I don't think you can answer that because they're very, very different folks, and again, very different different ends of the spectrum. David Grush's story, very different to Brandon Fugel's, private citizen to someone who was active duty, served in the military, served his country. Brandon is a private citizen spending his own money researching the UFO topic, but also from an entertainment point of view. So
here's a question. Would your opinion on Brandon's side of that question, would that be different before he just came out swinging with a flamethrower, just burning everything down, sharing that he'd taken a video and stuff like that? Because I feel like he's almost been a little bit more passive before then.
I think that even goes back to when with the Skinwalker Ranch side of things, that people will use the fact it's on TV and how it's presented as an argument that it's bullshit and there's nothing really happening there.
Sure.
I think we have to remember that there can still be a legitimate scientific operation happening, but also I do understand this is real life and they have a TV company making a TV show trying to make this interesting. People making the TV show, I imagine, will give even less crap about the UFO topic than Sean Kirkpatrick, and are there to make TV. So they're looking, going, yeah, I don't care about the mineral content of that soil. Let's sexy this up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And we had it already, right?
Things.
In series one, I remember there was an issue with llamas being attacked. And the way that was portrayed on TV, Brandon and all involved came out and said, we didn't like that. And we told them we didn't like that. That was it. Yeah. So right there in season one, we've already seen Brandon and team turn around to the production crew and go, no, that's too much. That's too far. Like, I understand you have to make things entertaining, but that was over the line for us. And we haven't seen it since.
Yeah, there was even stuff like when I talked to Thomas Winterton, go back and listen to that, folks. That was like one of the first interviews, like 13 or 14 I'd done. And Thomas Winterton mentioned about experiments on the ranch, a lot of stuff that they try and do, especially in the early days, they couldn't film because the equipment would fail. Or, for example, they would have like a meter and a tin to try and protect it. But they're like, we can't do the experiment while it's in the tin. So what we have to do is kind of hold it at a different angle. But it's like being on a baking show, like being on the Great British Bake Off. And they don't just put something in the oven. They're probably told, actually, can you stop or come dine with me, for example, because I know someone who was on that. And they're told, going to stir that pasta again, but can you stand a little more around to the side? Actually, going to start a fresh pot of pasta. And this time, can you make sure when you stir it, you know, they're told to redo it and redo things.
Both ways as well. Like, I was going to ask you, like, we've both been on Ancient Aliens talking. I've never been told to say something, but I've been asked maybe to repeat something if I've kind of like ummed and ahed in what I'm saying, so it makes it hard to edit around. Or if I feel I've been unclear, I'll say, can I just do that again? And it's done a second time. It doesn't make that not genuine. It just means that you're kind of meeting them halfway, you know?
Yeah, and I'll just say there was nothing on Ancient Aliens I was told to say. They asked me to speak about stuff that I had, one, no interest in, or two, didn't know much about. So I said that to them, and they were like,
and they're fine with that as well, right?
Yeah, they didn't make me say stuff. Not that maybe some folks on that show do talk about things they don't know much about, but...
Yes, but I would say that's the people, not the production crew. The production crew are there to point a camera, get the footage, and make sure that you don't, you know, dribble while you're saying stuff. On the occasion that you do, they'll ask you to do it again. That's fine. You can say what you want.
I did laugh. Like, my mum wanted to see a lot about that episode, and I've never actually watched it properly yet. My wife has,
Do you know you're subtitled?
Yeah,
the whole thing. Okay,
I've seen like little bits. I'm not particularly fussed about watching myself back on TV, as what it is. But I'd put it on to show my mum, and I caught a clip of this woman I think she's an American, saying Scotland's a land of craggy moors and beautiful rolling hills and valleys. And I thought, it's a land of like junkies and nights out and people peeing on buses at 3 o'clock in the morning for me. But yeah, beautiful country if you get a chance to visit, folks. It still is. But yeah, it's just funny how these things are portrayed. But anyway, sorry. Peter also said, Dan, will Arrow ever be anything other than Blue Book 2.0? I think I left this earlier to come back to. I think Arrow's had its day. I don't think Arrow in its incarnation, its in now, is worth anything or will be going forward, no matter who takes it over. It would need to be a completely new organisation, but I think we discussed this way back in the day when it was AIMSOG and all that kind of stuff as well, that there comes a point you just have to kill that whole chain of things happening and move on to something completely different.
Arrow is the latest incarnation of the DoD's attempt to control this conversation around UFOs. Since early days, everyone's wanted it away from the DoD, but the DoD keeps kind of getting in front of legislation to say, no, we've made, AIMSOG, so you don't need to worry about, the wording in that legislation. I'm curious what the NDAA is going to look like this year, because it could be that they say, okay, you've had 2 years now, you've had three different programs, and it's still same shit, different day. So now we're going to pry this away from you. That's my hope, but we'll see where it goes.
Last couple of questions. Jeff says, how much do we know about the progress of the provisions lost from last year's NDAA / the Schumer Rounds Amendment / the UAP Disclosure Act being put back in? And then there's a question Phil followed up with saying he wonders what's going to stop it going through this time. I think we're still waiting on, aren't we, Dan? What's going to happen? Like you said, people like Lou Elizondo, Danny Sheehan's talked about it, that work is happening to try and get this back through, to try and get that language back in. It would make sense. It would have to be with provisions again, because I don't think just sticking the same language in. But it makes sense, Dan, like you said, there'll be some caveats this time. Like, if you are a private individual, you don't have to. Or you could loan with a 90-day window of having it returned, stuff like that. And that is literally us guessing, but that's what we expect, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just going to jot something else in here. To the Stars had their shareholders meeting not too long ago, just in the last few weeks. And during that, they addressed the CRADA agreement that they've had with the US Army, that was addressed in the Arrow historical report, because it was the same material. And this for me kind of comes into the area of, if they nail down the language in the paperwork, then they have to adhere to it. So to the Stars, I've said before, when they gave that material over, I've alluded to that just going, the material's disappeared, now it's gone forever, it's in a black hole. I was wrong. Tom was right. There you go. So in the meeting, we found out, I'll just read it. They said that the Army has been outstanding and supportive partner with To the Stars with the magnesium bismuth sample. That's the arts parts, Linda Moulton Howe kind of layered bismuth thing. And I quote, it says, last year, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, also known as ARROW, asked the Army and To the Stars to transfer the magnesium bismuth sample to the Department of Energy National Laboratory for further study. To the Stars agreed to this, as ARROW stated that they would provide To the Stars with the results of the lab's report. As of today, both the Army and the National Lab have finished investigating the sample, and we will be sending our own team of prominent researchers to conduct due diligence and review the findings to confirm the analysis in this report. We are committed to our mission to rely on substantiated facts and not hearsay, and we look forward to concluding this important research project soon. We thank all of you who have supported us since 2017 and were as excited as we were when the CRADA was signed in 2019. Stay tuned for an update on this in the not too distant future. So that for me is hugely encouraging. The Army, it hasn't gone into a black hole. ARROW has the material. They've tested it. They're going to be sharing the results with To the Stars, and To the Stars are going to be doing their own testing. So we should see a lot more of that now. All to say, if they get the language right, then look at that. They can work together and they can play nice. That's a really good example to hold up, I think, of the collaboration that needs to happen going forward.
Do you think they regret giving over that sample now? Do you think they still would?
I don't know. It depends. This seems in good faith. So for me, it depends what To the Stars team finds of that sample. Because if it comes back and the Army says, nothing anomalous with it at all, and then to the Starz team films it doing anomalous things, that's a problem. But as of right now, I would say it's just, you know, I'm living in the question, so to speak. I can't conclude because it's limited data, but I'm confident that to the Starz would speak out if they think the US Army got it wrong.
I'll say it still sits as an outlier for me of something that I wish they hadn't done, because I don't think it does sit with the spirit of the whole thing. And yeah,
you mean giving it over to them, like the prior? Okay,
yeah, I'm not a fan of it. And not to, again, let's get conspiratorial. How do they know they're getting the same sample back?
Is it true? You know what happened with the BET spheres? They were given over to the US government for testing, and when they got the family got the BET sphere back, that
silver
was meant to
bowling
roll
balls,
around.
Baby.
And, yeah, apparently it was inert. It was dead. They said as soon as they received it, they could tell it was just different. So they might have damaged it or replaced it or something like that. Yeah. So it remains to be seen. You know, is it going to be more evidence of a cover up and more red flags, or is it going to be something constructive?
Yeah. Question from Algo. In an environment where for decades one side wants to keep a secret and the other one wants to acquire that information, you would think leaks tend to occur either by accident, by intentional release, or intrusion hacking. Why do you think no major UAP leaks have occurred?
Have they not?
I think my immediate one is like the Gary McKinnon NASA stuff. It's but again, example. There's a really huge smoking gun leak, you could say, but it's too good to be true,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And the lack of like a screenshot of what he saw as well, it's just a story now, right? Instead of going, no, this is what I saw on my screen, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Even if he had a screenshot, oh, it's a web page, anyone can make one of those. He could have done that himself. That could just be, I think it's the same as the argument now, isn't it, Dan, of what a good video would look like. How many real genuine videos are probably on YouTube, but you would say either they are too good to be true or they're sitting with like 13 views.
Yeah. And now we have the whole AI video thing that, you know, if you go on Facebook and you look at AI photos, I've seen so many screenshots of people just commenting as if these AI photos are real. Like there was one with a bunch of babies in like a cabbage patch and it was labeled Cabbage Patch Kids. And it was funny, but there were a whole bunch of parents that couldn't discern, you know, they didn't look at the six fingers. It was just a glance, because that's what you do when you're on social media. You don't look too closely. And so it was already muddy. And now in this, we're throwing a AI video. Whew, it's going to be a really difficult conversation to have. Like nothing short of scientific papers and work and peer-reviewed science here is going to do the trick.
Dan, we'll wrap up there because it's getting pretty stuffy in this outhouse as we stand. It's pretty hot. Anything to add just before I wrap up?
So just little things that I wanted to talk about. We'll wrap up. I'll keep them short. But so scientists recorded for the first time an animal using plant medicine on itself to heal its wound. It was an orangutan.
Was that the ape or the chimpanzee with orangutan?
Orangutan, yeah.
With a leaf.
With a leaf. And he came into the community from outside. So they don't know whether it's a behavior that he figured out or whether it's a behavior that was from his group. And they're waiting to see now if that behavior kind of spreads to the rest of the orangutan community, which is really interesting. You know, I know we didn't tell them. The locals, by the way, use the plant for healing, so it could be that the orangutan saw the locals doing it and started copying them. But again, there's a level of awareness there, right? And an ability
like
to act on
with
it.
The cat point.
You got it. Exactly. Then there was a little bit of news of the first evidence for early human civilizations using lava tubes to live and graze and rear animals and things like that. Lava tubes comes into this conversation quite a lot about UAP kind of going into them. There was some around Casalina. I thought that was interesting because, yeah, human civilizations underground. That's kind of prominent around the world, but this is in an area now that we haven't seen it before. So even more so, humans live underground. So when we're talking about like mole people and underground civilizations, it's not really
Dan,
that far out there.
Dan, yes or no? Is that real?
Yes.
Cool.
Wait, is what real?
Like civilizations on the ground?
Oh yeah, 100%, totally real. Yeah. Like there are in Turkey and China, there are like these incredibly well carved out, huge. That would look really weird. If anyone's watching on YouTube right now,
a fly just kind of flew by Andy.
Me freaking out, yeah. It's a really big camera, one as well.
Because it's low light, the camera kind of created a trail then. And it looked like a line that you were wafting away instead of a dot. So that was interesting. I forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, lava tube thing, that's interesting. Living underground would make sense, especially, you know, with the auroras and stuff like that that you've seen. Turn the aurora up to 7 instead of 5 and see how civilization copes. Underground would be our best case, you know? It would be a good place to survive. Then we also have, just wanted to touch on this, James Webb, the James Webb Space Telescope, scientists using that to kind of find biosignatures. They found a few on this planet real far away, K218b, we need to give it a better name. But a biosignature is just a sign of life that's left behind by living things. It doesn't mean intelligent things, it doesn't mean civilizations, it doesn't mean, you know, it literally is just a chemical that's left behind by life. They found methane, CO2, which aren't unique to life, they can be other processes. But what they did find is something called dimethyl sulfide, which they think is only produced by life. And on Earth, we only see it produced by algae in the oceans. So we're thinking that maybe it's an ocean world that we were looking at and there's life in the oceans there. That's huge. That's microbial life everywhere. That will get the conversation going. And then just for the last thing, I wanted to mention Taylor Swift, because it does really well in the algorithm. But she's on her Eras tour around the world, and she's just added big UFO as part of her show. A listener sent it to me, Mang57Mac on Instagram. And I just wanted to read his message because I thought it was a pertinent one. So aside from the fact that Taylor Swift's partner, Travis Kelce, his dad used to be a MUFON investigator, and he talks a lot about UFOs in interviews and things like that, he being Travis, which was new to me. That's really cool. Mang57Mac said to me, when you read the actual lyrics of the song that she's singing to, the song's called Down Bad. He says that one can tell that Taylor has a very keen understanding of the ridicule and shame that often comes to people who've experienced an encounter or an abduction. And she uses those negatives as metaphors for the heartbreak and loss that come with relationships. Some of the lyrics reminded this person of Whitney Strieber talking about how he would go back out into the woods and stare at the sky and beg for the visitors to take him back. And then he says, anyway, Taylor Swift could definitely help take UFOs from counterculture to mainstream. Think about how active her audience is, and most of them probably aren't old enough to have come across UFOs and stuff. Kind of like Tom DeLonge on stage, right? Just talking about UFOs. People will go and, as has happened, they'll post on social media going, cool, there was a big UFO on stage, and suddenly it's a cascade. Similar to, I guess, the Aurora stuff, right? How many people were out over the weekend hoping to catch a glimpse that we're seeing stars in the sky and the amazingness of the universe? And now their appetite's whetted a little bit and they're wondering what's up there. Are we alone?
My only issue with that, and this is the same for the Taylor Swift audience thing, is by next Monday they'll all have forgotten about the Aurora stuff and that it's even a thing. Like, you know, when people watch The X Factor, get really wound up about it for 8 weeks, and then a year later ask them who won it, who was that person that they loved and obsessed over for 8 weeks, they can't remember their name.
Yeah, that's
FIFA
fair.
Right now has an alien UFO themed tifos.
Oh, that's cool.
It. Yeah, I've put them all on mine. I've got a, if anyone on PlayStation plays FIFA or Xbox and stuff, it's just UFO UAP AM.
Do I smell a UFO tournament?
Yeah, yeah. but I would play that. I've got the little alien tifos and stuff up. Dan,
oh, cool.
we got a last question in literally a few minutes ago. Ooh. From someone on YouTube. So Teresa, you literally popped up on my email as we were wrapping up. One more question, Dan.
Do you want me? I was just going to touch on Ask a Paul. Do you want me to do that before or after the question?
Oh, go on, do that now, and we'll finish up with Teresa's.
Cool. So I was just going to say massive props to Matt Laszlo. He has asked 100 of 100 US senators about whistleblower David Grush. And I thought the results were interesting. They vary from mocking to dismissive to I'm investigating, I'm curious, I'm aware. 47 out of 100 were aware. So that's almost half of all US senators are aware and supportive of getting to the bottom of this. That's kind of awesome. I was very surprised by that. And there are a few comments about Arrow, for example. Rep Burleson said that he thinks Arrow isn't done. They still have stuff to do. Gallagher, who's now an ex-official, he says we still don't have a good explanation for what's fouling our ranges. I haven't heard one. So he wants to see more work done there. Rep Anna Paulina Luna says that the UAP caucus is working on something with UFO for the next public hearing, which we have heard hasn't been asked about for the guy that would organize that. But, you know, they could be getting all the ducks in a row before they present the idea to him. That's completely reasonable.
Yep.
Gillibrand commented, which is always nice to hear because she was an early champion of this. She seems to think that Chuck Schumer's UAPDA and Senator Ange's UAPDA got through with everything intact. So she could be paying a little more attention there, I think, to something that she signs her name to. We also had her talking about the report, saying it's definitely not case closed, and that their report was just that their analysis of everything that they were shown. So as you said earlier, they're only judging the stuff they were shown. They can't judge stuff they aren't shown, and everyone they talk to. And that's what the conclusions were based on. And then Representative Andre Carson, when asked what was flying over US airspace, he responded to Matt saying, if this was a game show, what would your guess be? I just think the environment is rapidly changing, brother. So you always have to be on alert. You never know what's going to happen, you know? I think that's why these public hearings are so tricky, because people are listening for context and clues. And he's right. People look into the smallest thing, and we've touched on that so much today. So I just wanted to make sure that we covered that and just said a massive thank you to Matt Laszlo. We had no one on the steps of Washington previous to ask Paul doing what they do. And now here they are with every single US senator on record. I cannot give that a big enough glowing review.
Awesome. And Teresa, since you are so lucky to get on time, get this in. Do you think that when people have encounters with other beings, that it could be future humans? When we have to leave the planet, they are what we become because of the effects of space, for example. I don't know if I believe that, but I find it an interesting option to ponder. Teresa, if you haven't heard the Michael Masters interviews or read his books, definitely one to check out. Quickly on that one, Dan.
Yeah, really intriguing. A new Planet of the Apes movie came out just this week, and that's the whole premise there, right? That we eventually go away from the planet, and because of the relativistic speed.
Spoilers.
A certain, this is in the older movie, it doesn't count.
Yeah, from 60 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But we haven't caught up there yet, so someone might not know. They're going to be like, what, this is a sequel? We go away from the planet at relativistic speeds, which means for the people in the spaceship, time passes just normally, but for back on Earth, it passes like hundreds of years, thousands of years, because they're, you know, approaching the speed of light. And then when they get back, all that time's passed, and it's basically an alien environment. Michael Masters talks about this. It's a really tantalizing possibility. And there is a book you bought me, Andy, actually, by someone named Suskalski. And his whole idea was that he was kind of looking for what he called a proto-civilization, where he was looking at all these different tribes and indigenous folk from all over the world and the stories they tell and where they overlapped. And he thinks that he found a proto-language. But at one point in the book, he says that people were taken before a disaster by, and I quote, ships from elsewhere. That's a really vague statement, and I can't ask him, unfortunately, because he's not with us anymore. But I thought that was really interesting what he was looking into, and then saying that. Maybe we've been here before. Maybe we've done this before, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Emphasis on the maybe.
Yeah, no, definitely. And very quickly, same for me, quite possibly. I always think the future human stuff, it's probably, if it's any element of time travel, it's just not as easy as Back to the Future or Endgame or any of these shows would even have it. So yeah, maybe it is just that thing of everything's happening all at once at the same time, and some things get access to go back and forward along that time.
I think of it like jumping into different frames of the film strip. You can kind of just jut around them. But if you're in that film strip, you don't even know it exists, you know?
And then someone's got access to the director's cut, and then someone else has got access to bonus material that you don't.
Exactly.
very quickly, actually, Dan, just to finish, anything good coming from a media point of view? One thing I want to shout about is Outer Range comes back on Netflix next week.
I didn't know it was next week. That's exciting.
Yeah, Josh Brolin. Who is Thanos in Avengers and many other really, really famous parks. I know No Country for Old Men and Men in Black and stuff.
Ridiculous actor, yeah.
He probably wants to forget Men in Black right enough. He has a phenomenal Tommy Lee Jones, though. But yeah, it's, I mean, God, it was last year or 2 years ago I watched it now. But basically, it's quite a slow burn, very slow burner, folks. But I really enjoyed it. Ranch family, the rancher finds a hole out in the middle of his ranch, which is mysterious. He kind of does that thing of throwing stuff into it and doesn't know where it goes.
As you do.
As you do. Some strange stuff happens. Eventually, I don't want to spoil season one, but he falls in and there may be some kind of different dimensions or something involved, basically. But put it this way, you end season one with so little answered and just loads of questions. It's very, very much a tease for what I hope is maybe a little bit of a faster season two, but at least keeps that intrigue going, because I really wanted to watch the next episode. And I'm really looking forward to that coming back. I'm glad they renewed it.
Yeah, it was a really good show, really well made, really great actors. If you're into dark, without kind of spoiling anything, if you're into dark, watch this, because it totally kind of presses those same buttons. And if you want to know about kind of the things that inspired it, Google, and be careful Googling this, you're going to Google Mel's Hole, okay? Mm. But be careful, because some things might come up that you don't want to come up.
Just apologize to Mel in advance.
Maybe chuck Astonishing Legends Mel Hole in, and it will bring you to the episode where they talk about it. It is based on a real thing, supposedly a hole somewhere that's protected and a bunch of fences around it, that at some point people threw things into there and they pulled up this casket, and supposedly there was this like glob of flesh like writhing and making weird noises and things like that. So if you're into that just idea, I don't know if it's real, I haven't seen any proof, it's just a story, but it kind of, that's the legend that the show plays off, and they're both really amazing, so just have a look into them.
Anything else you know that's coming out from a TV point of view or movie point of view?
Not so much a TV or movie point of view, but I just wanted to throw out a recommendation of Richard Hatem's Paranormal Bookshelf, my new favorite podcast, all about the guy who wrote the Mothman Prophecies movie. He grabs a book off his bookshelf, talks about his life and kind of reflects on the book and what it means to him. And this week's was called Dancing Past the Dark. And we always hear about positive near-death experiences and so on and so forth. We never hear about negative ones. This show is about negative near-death experiences. So if you find that intriguing, have a listen.
Awesome. Thank you very much, folks. If you're listening to this in the next couple of days, rescheduled interviews with Robert Powell of SCU discussing his new book and the upcoming conference. John Tedesco, who was mentioned by Kevin Knuth when he was on, about his work on the East Coast of the US and his UFO scientific investigations with his colleagues, they'll be on as well. And in a couple of weeks, I've got Gary Nolan on the podcast, which was rescheduled from December. So fingers crossed those all go ahead. That'd be wonderful. And any questions, please email them over to the usual places. Dan, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Would you like a terrible joke to sign us off?
Not really, but go on.
What does Travis Taylor from Skinwalker Ranch do with a guitar? Rocket.
I don't get it.
He loves rockets.
Right, okay. Thanks. Cheers. I think the Taylor Swift material was better, to be honest. Speaking of Swift endings, that is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium, YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little more.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for.
Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.